Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Governor Branstad, Mr. Holliday, Mr. Gabus, museum board members, staff and volunteers, members of the Johnston community and surrounding area, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome to the dedication ceremony for the Iowa Gold Star Military Museum's Civil War exhibit. I'm Colonel Greg Hapgood with the Iowa National Guard. We're extremely pleased you're with us today. Thank you for your great support of this tremendous museum. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please rise for the national anthem as performed by Roger Shannon. Civilian guests, please place your right hand over your heart. Uniformed military personnel will remain at the position of attention.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you very much, Roger. Please be seated. It's now my pleasure to introduce our special guests who are with us today to help us dedicate this new exhibit. Please hold your applause until all guests have been introduced. The Honorable Terry Branstad, Governor of Iowa, Mr. Bob Holliday, Board Chair, Iowa Gold Star Military Museum, and Mr. Gene Gabus with the Gabus Family Foundation. Please give our distinguished guests a warm welcome. Support from the state of Iowa is absolutely essential to the growth and continued success of the Iowa Gold Star Military Museum. It is a great privilege and honor to introduce to you a tremendous supporter of not only this museum, but Iowa's veterans, Governor Terry Branstad. Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Colonel Hapgood, thank you for that very nice introduction. I'm glad to be back here at the Gold Star Museum on Camp Dodge. I had the honor last year of signing our home base Iowa bill here at this location in my uniform, and I'm intending to come back, and we did it on Memorial Day, and I intend to be back in my uniform here on Memorial Day as we have that free breakfast. And you know, a lot of people go a long ways for a free breakfast, and I'm one of them. But I'm pleased to be here today. This is a very significant and historic day in the history of the United States of America, because it was 150 years ago on this day that Confederacy under the leadership of Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. That was I guess you could say the beginning of the end of the Great Civil War. And that Civil War had quite an impact in our whole nation. And it certainly did in our young state of Iowa, which had only become a state in 1846. And yet here, very early in our state's history, we had the Great Civil War. And so we had a tremendous number of Iowans that served. In fact, I want to acknowledge Governor Kirkwood at the time. He was a close friend of President Abraham Lincoln, and when he got the call to recruit volunteers to help with putting down the rebellion, he responded in a very positive way. And in fact, my recollection is he moved to Davenport to be close to where the soldiers could embark and they recruited a tremendous number, 76,000 soldiers, about 13% of the whole population of the state, that fought to save the Union. That included 48 infantry regiments, 9 cavalry regiments, and 4 batteries of artillery. Governor Kirkwood was very hands-on. In fact, recently on the 150th anniversary of the Siege of Vicksburg, I happened to have the honor of going there for the rededication of the Iowa Monument. And actually, during the Siege of Vicksburg, Governor Kirkwood actually visited the troops during that period of time. And we also had other subsequent governors of Iowa that actually were part of the troops that fought there as well. Including Governor Merrill, who later was with Abraham Lincoln when he was assassinated and actually helped carry him across the street and then rode with him, his body, when they brought him back to Illinois after his death. So we in Iowa have, I think, a lot to be proud of, because from the very early times in our state, Iowans have always responded to the call to help our nation and to defend and preserve this great experiment in self-government that we have. Our state has a rich tradition of answering the call, and this museum is a great opportunity to kind of show the history of Iowa and the history of Iowa as an important player in helping defend the freedoms and the opportunities that we have in this country. So it is indeed a great honor for me to join you on this occasion at this beautiful Gold Star Museum here at Camp Dodge to remember those that served in the Great Civil War and the difference that they made. And today we still have this great Union, this great experiment in self-government that was launched in America. And we're proud as Iowa to be an important part of it and to be able to celebrate the role that Iowans played in preserving this Union during that very dark and difficult time of the Civil War. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Governor Branstad. It's now a pleasure to introduce to you the board chair of the Iowa Gold Star Military Museum, Bob Holliday. Sir.
Thank you, Colonel Hapgood, Governor Branstad, Mr. Gabus, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to be here and just say a very few words on this occasion. The first thing I want to say is, Governor Branstad, with all due respect, guys this age that can still get in their uniforms, and what can I say? We're proud of you. Thank you all for being here. This is a special day. This exhibit, of course, fits right into the theme and missions of this museum, one of which, and perhaps the major one, is to remember and recognize and honor any Iowan who's ever worn a uniform. As I say to groups, we live in the freest country in the history of this world. Had our fellow citizens, in this case Iowans, not answered that call, stop and think where you'd be. This is the beginning that is directly in front of Iowa as a frontier state. This exhibit, as every exhibit that's coming on in this museum, is a collective effort of a lot of people, our staff, Sherry Colbert, our director, and Mike Vogt, our curator, Mike Mussel, our historian, our volunteers, many of whom are here. And it's a wonderful experience, and this museum is for the entire state of Iowa and everybody that lives here. Anybody that lives within the boundaries of this state, border to border or coast to coast, should be very proud of this place. It's that simple. I wrote my notes here on my hand because I frankly didn't know I was going to say a few words, so forgive me if I look at my hand. We want to sincerely and honestly thank Gene Gabus and his family for funding this exhibit And we certainly want to thank Governor Branstad and the Iowa legislature for all of the support that they have given this museum. Folks, we're just getting warmed up here. Wait till we get done. If we ever get done, a museum probably never does. But again, we are making this into an entity that everybody around this state is going to be very, very proud of. But we thank you for being here. Enjoy the day. Be proud of this place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's now a pleasure to introduce Mike Vogt, the museum curator, who will speak briefly about the Civil War and about this exhibit. Mike.
Thank you, sir. Every good project is usually the result of teamwork, so I want to recognize some people that were part of this team. First of all, Mr. Will Thompson from Armadillo Arts in Iowa City, who helped us walk through the design concepts and artwork to help us visualize what you see in three-dimensional form today. Mr. Dan Bolke from Paragon Cabinets in Iowa City, who crafted these fine cases for this custom-made for this project. As mentioned, the Gabus Family Foundation, whose financial support made this possible. And also my colleague here, Mr. Mike Mussel, who knows a lot more, maybe I shouldn't say this in front of a crowd, knows a lot more about the Civil War than I do, but I ran a lot of drafts of labels in front. Does this look okay? Is this right? Do I need a comma here? So I probably became a bit of a pest to him, but his help and assistance was greatly appreciated. Thank you, folks, for braving potential weather and dodging the raindrops today. For Iowans of the Civil War era, Union Army service was the defining event of their lives. For some, it was the first and only time they traveled outside of Iowa. Other Iowans witnessed, in vivid human form, the victims of slavery, an institution they helped to vanquish. For that generation of men, Civil War service was a source of pride they carried with them as a badge of honor for the rest of their days. They saved the Union. They were the 19th century's greatest generation. Over half a century later, Civil War veterans gathered at reunions across Iowa to recall their days of glory, when the fate of the nation depended on their courage and their valor. Scanning the contents of this exhibit, one will see a variety of objects connected to the exemplary service of Iowans in the American Civil War. From carbines to canteens, artifacts and documents, preserved and treasured by that war's veterans, have fortunately survived the ravages of time, climate, and history to symbolize today the participation and sacrifice of Iowa soldiers who, over a century and a half ago, departed our state to put an end to the national dilemma of Southern rebellion and slavery. Examining these objects through a shield of protective glass inadvertently separates us from the artifact's time and violent context. It is easy to marvel at the workmanship of a Springfield rifle musket and forget the trembling yet valiant hands of an Iowan who shouldered it in defense of the Union. Alienated by time and perspective, we unintentionally forget the lives of the individual Iowans represented by the surviving orphan relics of a war fought long ago. My intent as a curator and historian is that each object, carefully preserved and selected for exhibition, will not simply be viewed as an interesting curiosity, but rather connect us to the personal stories of heroism, courage, patriotism, and sacrifice that have been a part of Iowa's philosophy for generations. On today's 150th anniversary of Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendering to Union Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, it is only fitting to end my remarks with the words of a Civil War combat veteran, Sergeant Samuel H. Byers, 5th Iowa Volunteer Infantry. Scarcely once in 1,000 years do states or nations fight for a principle really vital to the human race. All states worth preserving have wars. Fate stands at the side of the bravest, and in these times, as in all times, nations exist by the edge of their sabers and the caliber of their cannons. Of a population less than 700,000, nearly 80,000 were in the field. Of her arms-bearing men, every other one stood in the ranks of the Union Army. 2,152 of them were killed outright in battle. 10,216 died in hospitals from wounds and sickness. More than 10,000 were discharged for disability and bodies ruined by the service. The soldiers of Iowa marched in columns from the Des Moines River to the Atlantic Ocean, and from the Gulf to the interior of every rebel state. The history of soldiers of Iowa has been the story of brave men. 10,000 miles of marching, 100 battles and almost never a defeat.
Thank you very much, Mike. To close the program today, Roger Shannon will perform the Grand Army of the Republic classic, Who Will Tell the World the Story? Roger?
As a grandson, great-grandson of a Civil War veteran, and as a veteran myself and a father with two sons who are veterans, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the state of Iowa, to thank the Iowa National Guard, to thank Bob King out there with the VA, to thank the board of directors of the Gold Star Museum and their dedicated staff. God bless you all. Thank you for what you do for us. This song, I will ask that you join me in the chorus, and later on, why I'll ask you to go ahead and clap and keep time to the music. This is a march, but it's rather a celebration as well. When the comrades have departed, when the veterans are no more, when the bugle call is sounded on that everlasting shore, when the weary march is ended, when the campfire slumber long, who will tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone? When the boys in blue are gone, when the boys in blue are gone, when the weary march is ended, when the campfire slumber long, who will tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone? Who will tell about their struggles from Atlanta to the sea? Who will halt and wait and listen when they sound the reveille? Who will pause to swell the chorus of a grand old army song? Who will tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone? When the boys in blue are gone, when the boys in blue are gone, when the weary march is ended, when the campfire slumber long, who will tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone? Sons and daughters of this nation, you must tell of triumphs won. When on earth our work is ended and the veteran claims his own, you must cherish dear old glory and his teachings pass along. You must tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone. When the boys in blue are gone, when the boys in blue are gone, when the weary march is ended, when the campfire slumber long, who will tell the world the story when the boys in blue are gone?
Thank you very, very much, Roger. At this time, a special thank you to Sherry Colbert, the director of the museum staff and volunteers, and the Camp Dodge team for their invaluable assistance with the preparation of this exhibit and ceremony. We will now cut the ribbon, and then we'll have a reception in the foyer afterwards. So if you would please stand up, we'll run the ribbon right across here. Sherry, if you want to come up. Reenactors, Carl, come on in. Sir? If you just want to push them back, that's fine, Bob. Now the trick to these scissors is when you bring them down, you gotta snap it.
Good.
Oh, good. Pretty hard. We'll cut the ribbon, but you gotta snap it. You gotta keep the ribbon tight for you too.
And up. And way up in here.
Yep. Yes, sir. All right. There you go. Make room. Sherry, you want to jump up there on the ribbon line?
Oh.
Here.
Well, I'm staying.
I don't know.
We got to move him down a little bit. There we go.
I'm going to slip behind you.
Okay.
All right. Wait till we count the three here.
Okay.
Are we ready? One, two, three.
There we go. Second round. Come on.
much for coming today. Please join us for a reception.
Got to cut it with a sword.
Yeah.
Governor, I like this.